Officially, it's back to work in China today. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. After an extended Lunar New Year break following the outbreak of coronavirus in China, millions of people returned to work today. But a large number of factories, including those of tech giants Foxconn and Apple, and many car makers, are still shut to try and prevent further spread of the respiratory virus. From Beijing, the BBC's Stephen McDonald explains what the mood is like.
It is anything but normal. Many companies have told their staff to work from home. The Beijing government has asked all enterprises to explore at least the possibility of flexible working hours. And in terms of commuting, the government here has also announced that the normal restrictions on cars, each car here is supposed to have a day off. It eases congestion on the roads and also helps with pollution. Well, those normal restrictions have been cancelled for the moment. And the thinking is that riding on the subway, or if you're riding on the bus, you have a greater chance of being exposed to the coronavirus. And so that's why they've freed up the possibility of people driving their cars.
Many factories are still shut today. How big of an economic impact are businesses bracing for?
The way everything's interconnected now, imagine you're a supplier for another factory. Well, you don't make your widgets that other factory needs. Well, it also stops their production. And this is flowing right through the massive Chinese economy. And given that we think this isn't going to peak potentially for at least another month, who knows just how bad it could get in terms of economic impact. And naturally, of course, I mean, you think small businesses not being able to keep their shops or their restaurants open, huge impact on them. Imagine if you're a factory worker who lives in a big city. You've got no pay. You've somehow got to pay your rent. You know, how do you survive?
Indeed, the full impact still yet to be known. The BBC's Stephen McDonald in Beijing. Thank you.
Good to talk to you.
Coronavirus worries are still weighing on global markets. The pan-European Stoxx 600 index is down about 0.3% today. In Asia, Japan's Nikkei and Hong Kong's Hang Seng both fell 0.6%. China's Shanghai Composite Index, though, ticked up 0.5%. Fresh inflation data there showed the initial economic impact of the coronavirus outbreak to the country's economy. Consumer prices in China jumped 5.4% from a year ago. It's the highest rate in 8 years, and mainly due to higher food prices, boosted by supply disruption and consumer stockpiling. It's a big day for Indian taxi company Ola. The world's third biggest ride-sharing app officially launches in London today, its fourth UK city. The company is hoping to capitalize on a market where rival Uber is facing licensing issues that threaten its ability to operate. The BBC's Saranjana Tiwari has more.
SoftBank-backed Ola is already operational in Birmingham, Exeter, Reading, and other international destinations like Sydney. It has the backing of a strong network in India too. It runs in more than 90 cities and is a market leader. In London, the ride-hailing app has already registered 25,000 drivers, many of them who were working for Uber. Last November, local regulator Transport for London decided not to renew Uber's license to operate, citing a pattern of failures that put safety of passengers at risk. Uber is allowed to continue services as it appeals the decision. Ola has set itself apart by installing some safety features. Ola's also offering drivers a number of incentives, no commission for the first 6 weeks, and after that it will take just 18% as commission, much less than Uber's 25%. In Mumbai, I'm the BBC's Saranjana Tiwari for Marketplace.
It was 4 years ago that the Oscars So White hashtag took social media by storm, causing the Academy to take a hard look at who it was nominating for the industry's top awards. Its leaders vowed to double minority membership by 2020 and expand representation from other nations. This year, it appears, some of those efforts paid off. Last night, South Korea's Parasite film made history when it took home the award for Best Picture, a first for a foreign language film. So when it comes to financing for movies like these, is there a recipe for international success and recognition? James Corden, host of The Late Late Show, told the BBC there are strategies entertainment makers in other countries could take from Britain's playbook.
The things that changed my career were being in plays at the National Theatre
and working at the BBC, and these are two things which are government funded. The National Theatre starts with a £10 million, I think, grant of money from the government to invest in theatre and new playwrights. And what's incredible about those things, and where we have perhaps a leg up on certainly America, is you can start those processes not for profit. So when the National Theatre is starting a new venture, they're not thinking, is this something which is going to generate profit? And from that, you will find plays like War Horse, which go on and make tens, if not hundreds of millions of pounds that are pumped back into the arts, or the History Boys, or Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, and the same with the BBC. Without the BBC, there is no Fleabag or Peaky Blinders or The Office, and these are shows which have gone on and made huge waves across the world. And I think that is something to be really, really proud of in Britain, and something to be protected.
That's Late Late Show host James Corden there. Well, the Oscars win for Parasite is cause for celebration today in South Korea. TV channels are interrupting scheduled programming to report the unexpected wins. The country's president said the film, which reportedly netted $167 million at the box office, moved hearts of people around the world with a uniquely Korean story. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.